Hey girl, you feel that? That's boyfriend material. This is episode 23, The Slaughter Rule from 2002. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Levi's Denim.
Oh, you mean Levi's Denim?
No, that's boyfriend material.
Joe, before we get started, I have a really important question to ask you.
Yes.
You got that Renegade Pride?
I was messaging you while I was watching this, and I think that this movie should be nominated for a lot of categories. Best song, Renegade Pride.
For sure.
It should definitely be nominated.
This is a movie that is, I guess, about a coming-of-age story for a high school boy, Ryan Gosling.
You love coming-of-age movies.
Generally, yes, that is true, generally. It's also a movie about a probably closeted gay man coming to terms with the fact that he's lived a lonely life.
We can assume that that's what it's about. It doesn't really ever get confirmed, but yes.
Well acted by Gosling. Well acted by David Morse, the coach. Clea DuVall as his sort of girlfriend is really good in this.
Yep.
Amy Adams in her one scene is adorable.
Where's Amy Adams at? I missed her.
Amy Adams is the girlfriend of the captain of the high school football team.
No way.
She's in one scene. And
the diner?
Yeah, the only reason I knew she was in this, because I was looking at Letterboxd and she's fourth billed, not because she's the fourth biggest role, but because she's actually a name.
Yeah.
And she just has, like, she doesn't have her red hair. She's got, like, really straight blonde hair. The fact that she doesn't have, like, her kind of normal wavy-ish red hair sort of would have thrown me, but I was sort of on vigilant lookout. Because there's not a lot of girls, like, not a lot of high school girls in this movie, right?
Nope.
It's kind of Clea DuVall, and then that's sort of it.
Even the one chick isn't really a high school girl. Gosling's half a girlfriend. She's not in high school. She's a little bit older, it seems like.
She's around his age, but probably a little bit older. She seems like she had maybe just graduated or graduated a couple years earlier, was working a job. She's great. I love Clea DuVall. She's from Veep. She's from a lot of indie stuff. I always get a little uncomfortable when I know that an actor is gay and they're forced into straight romances.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, so her having to, like, make out, like, even though Gosling is beautiful, it's just like, oh, like, this is acting, but it's also like, oh boy, like, this, I sort of feel bad a little bit, you know what I mean?
Do you feel bad when straight actors have to act gay?
It's the same thing. It's not like, I don't think one's better or worse, it's just,
I don't feel either way towards any of them, like, because I know that it's, like, it's a job, right? And
sure.
If you, like, had to kiss a dude once for a scene in a movie, it's like, okay, like, that doesn't mean anything, so it's your job. You got paid. You got to check for it.
It's also uncomfortable to just, like, have, you know, two straight actors or an actor making out too. Like, all
it's
of it's
no
like,
different.
You know,
it's no different than that, right? Like, there's a lot of married actors that, like, have to make out with a chick that's, like, not their wife, you know, but it's, like, it's a job.
I always think about when I see a movie, you know, like, say, Gosling showing, you know, Eva Mendes, like, oh, let's check out this football movie. No, not Remember the Titans, the other one. And then he's just laying there making out with Clea DuVall. It's like, well, what is, like, Eva Mendes knows
I don't think
she's
you watch your own
too.
Movies. Like, you know, but
I mean, like,
I get
so
the
say,
idea.
Like, say at a premiere, right? Like, there's a world premiere in Hollywood or whatever, you go, you bring your loved ones, you bring your family, whatever, you know, nude scenes, sex scenes, makeout scenes, whatever. It's got to be weird. Like, I guess you got to be okay with it, but I'm sure on some level it's still always going to be a little uncomfortable.
It's going to be a little weird. I agree. I think that it would be more weird to see, like, to have, like, your mom see your dick in a movie. You shouldn't feel weird about it, because if anybody's seen your dick, it's your mom at some point, right? Like, so she wouldn't be surprised by it, but it would be really awkward to have, like, your mom at a premiere, your dick be in the movie, and you'd be like, oh, like, shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It would be really weird.
But the Slaughter Rule, I can't imagine this is going to be a wildly long episode, because there's not a lot that happens. Although, like you were saying, there's a lot of wacky Gosling things. Basically, everything
so
we have a category for happens once, like, exactly once in this movie.
Some of them multiple times, but yes. Can we talk just, like, general overview of the plot? Because I feel like a lot of people haven't seen this or probably won't see this. And you said, you know, coming-of-age story.
Yes, so Gosling is on the high school football team. He's on a JV football team. And I guess due to lack of funding, they canceled JV. So there's only varsity. So Gosling is just sort of like, well, I don't have anything to do. And so he's just hanging out at this diner. And David Morse, who's like this hustler, selling newspapers, doing whatever, just trying to get by, recruits him to a six-man football team. And it's this sort of independent league. The guy who runs the league also has a team. That's who they play at the very end. It's a six-man team. It's, you know, a little bit of, like, laterals and trick plays and busted plays, all this different stuff. And so Gosling sort of finds purpose in life, I guess, through this football team, through his new relationship with Clea DuVall, who's the waitress or the bartender at this restaurant. Meanwhile, sort of having a father figure, kind of for the first time, in David Morse, and then their relationship gets strained. Then sort of things come to a head. You know, he and Clea DuVall break up. He and David Morse get into a fight. And in the end, things sort of a little bit work out.
Yeah.
And other stuff happens, like his best friend gets paralyzed in a football game. Like, it just, there's things that happen, but, like, in terms of the Gosling stuff, that's kind of it.
That's a good summary. Yeah, I just wanted, like, a brief overview of what the movie's about.
I'm not going to spoil it, but when we get to the Letterboxd game, this is the lowest number in a long time of people who have seen this movie.
Okay.
That there's a couple other movies, like, since we last recorded, I realized that one of these movies that I thought we could do, we can't do. Like, I just can't find it. I thought I could find that I can't find. So there's going to be some, I think, that are even less seen than this one. But this one, nobody's seeking this one out unless you're like us, or Montez, who has seen this movie because she saw every Ryan Gosling movie. And so I think that's kind of the only reason that you would go to see this movie. Or, like the one girl on Letterboxd that I saw, whose profile picture is Amy Adams, she gave this movie half a star and said, at least Amy Adams looked cute in her one scene. And that was it. And I was like, cool, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, you know, if you do an Amy Adams podcast, like, I don't know if this is her first movie or not, but you're just like, it's like me and Mike doing Fast Times for Nicolas Cage, where he's on screen for 15 seconds across four scenes, has one line, and we talk about we do a whole podcast about it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
yeah,
she's in this movie, but she's not really in the movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't count her as in the movie. Yep.
So what's your favorite wacky thing that Gosling does or happens to Gosling in this movie, in terms of either the awards that we're going to do or just in general?
There's so much good for me. I think that him yelling during the wood cutting was top tier.
Really good, really good.
Like, two people were fighting. His best friend and his best friend's, like, stepfather are fighting because they're chopping wood because they don't play football anymore. They got cut from the team. And his stepfather was going to pay them to chop the wood, but he's like, oh no, you stacked it all wrong. This is a health hazard. You have to do it all again. He and his stepson get into a fight. As they're in the middle of the fight, Gosling just screams for no reason.
And starts, like, just flailing an axe around, chopping at wood, chopping at, like, carved bears, like, you know, just regular wood and nice wood. It's like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, and I was like, well played. Like, that's a really good... It's a lot of what I look for in Gosling in these movies. He channeled pure rage at a really random part of the movie that he wasn't really involved in a fight with. So I was like, oh, cool. That was pretty much... that. I think that was top tier. Like, when I got to that point, I was like, oh, God, there's a lot going on here. I really like this.
I want to give this movie credit for being maybe the most violent way that Ryan Gosling gets hit in the face. He takes a knee to the nose.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Like, looks like he busts his entire nose up, just has, like, a small little Band-Aid on for the rest of the movie. But, like, he takes a violent knee to the nose in a brawl fight. Like, that's the scene where Amy Adams is there. She's obviously not fighting, but her boyfriend, I think, lands the knee to the nose of Ryan Gosling. I was like, oh boy. Yep. Like, he's, even back then, getting beat the fuck up.
Yeah, it's punch in the face. Like, I think that should be considered for punch.
Absolutely.
Can we count? Okay.
I also realized while watching this movie that we should have done Hey Gos, What's in Your Mouth? Because I feel like, especially recently, he's been having a lot of things. Like, he had cigarettes in Murder by Numbers. Here, he's got a toothpick. He's got alfalfa. You know, in Drive, he's got toothpicks. Like, I feel like, in addition to what's in his hands...
Oral fixation type
oral
thing.
Oral fixation,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're in too deep now.
We are way in too deep. I don't know if you know her. I don't know if you've seen his movies, but his mom is played by Kelly Lynch from Roadhouse and Cocktail, so this big 80s actress.
I've seen Roadhouse. I've definitely seen Cocktail, but never, like, paid attention to it, like, kind of, like, on-in-the-background type movie.
Yep.
I didn't notice that she was from those. That's cool, though.
Yeah, she's barely in this movie. I think she's a flight attendant, and she just comes home, cooks, like, 2 weeks' worth of meals for Gosling.
When his dad dies, yeah.
Yep.
And then he sees her at the end, which is a really weird part. I didn't get that.
Well, one thing, like, his dad died, they think it's a suicide, but then Gosling at the end of the movie is like, maybe it wasn't a suicide, because I know he liked to jump on trains and just ride around. He thinks that might have been, like, he sort of has, like, this moment of realization. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's a line in the movie where the mom doesn't even show up to the dad's funeral because she says the divorce was a funeral enough for me. Like, she's been done with this relationship.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this 6-man football team is essentially like a dogfighting ring?
In what way?
It's an unscripted gambling event that's guised as a sport. I get that the kids are playing. It's a real sport.
Yeah.
But there's some shadiness to it. He kind of got thrown out of Texas. He has to pay to play the games. They're all kind of, like, coached or run by, like, these older guys, like, outside that kind of seem a little shady, right? So I think that it's more of, like, a gambling... And also, when they win that game, he buys everybody dinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a hustler, and he's not really, like, making a lot of money. I think that this is more of, like, a money scam. These people come together to play the things, and they're kind of gambling on them.
I guess it could be that. I think there's also two other possibilities. Either, number one, it's just kind of washed-up guys that instead of doing, like, an adult softball league or something, they would rather coach young men and sort of finding young men who are sort of like them, the outcasts of society, the people sort of living on the fringe, bringing them together and sort of shaping them into better people. I think that's sort of the most optimistic version. I think also maybe like the league dues or whatever money he pays, plus the extra money he has to pay per game because he like got a kid killed or something. Like there's a weird vague subplot there. But I wonder if like the money goes toward that and like the winning team gets a little bit money. Like maybe it's not gambling, but it's just sort of like prize money. Ultimately, this movie has zero interest in saying what that's all about. It's just like David Morse has been a fuck up his entire life. He has to pay money for this. When they don't show to a game, he's extra mad because I think he had to forfeit that money too. I don't know what the actual nefarious or genuine or whatever purpose is behind the games. I don't think it's necessarily shady because I feel like we would have seen a little bit more. Most are part of what you're saying, that he's led this life that has sent him down this path, kicked out of Texas, up here in Montana, just trying to get by. This is the only way that he can sort of find something to like get, you know, to make him, to bring him happiness.
I don't know. It felt like it was like a weird underground kind of gambling ring type situation to me.
I just feel like most of the people in the crowd just seem like local townspeople. Like it didn't seem like they were like degenerates.
Yeah, but the crowd doesn't need to be degenerates to be like, these towns aren't even big enough to have high school teams, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the teams that they were playing weren't even in areas that looked like they had a high school nearby.
Well, there's the high school team.
There is, but I mean, you have to remember that this is the fucking, what is it, like the breadbasket, right? Like, maybe there is a high school nearby, but that might be 30 minutes away. So if you can see a game down the street in, you know, Old Man Simmons Farm, you would still go because it's the only thing happening in your town that day that you don't have to, like, go drive to. Get what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, but I'm also guessing that, like, these teams that they're playing are not all from this town. Like, I feel like if the district, like, the actual, like, there's the actual high school football team, and say, like, they are playing 8 teams within, like, 3 hours, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, the greater Montana area. To some extent, these other teams that the Gosling football team, the 6-man team are playing, are probably from that same general area. It's not going to be, there's not going to be just 36 or 42 guys or whatever who are all just in this local town, I don't think. Like, it feels like there's probably 50 people in the town.
That's true, but you have to remember, like, everybody on Goss's team are kind of from his, like, little town.
Right, exactly, which is what I'm saying. Like, that's sort of, like, that's their local team. And then, say, the next town over, which is half an hour, 45 minutes away, has an actual high school team, but also has one of these teams of, like, sort of the scrubs or the roundabout, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it could be like that.
Like, the high school area is going to be, like, a bigger area. This is, like, the small subset of the town, you know what I mean? Like, you might have, like, a town, in quotation marks, is, like, the big place, where I'm sure, like, all the kids kind of get bused to school and go to school in one town, but each little town is going to have a team of the misfits that are 6 people.
Yeah, maybe.
And so, like, they might all play in, like, one town, but if you don't live in that town, you're not going to see the high school football games unless you, like, make the 30-minute drive to go there and meet at the high school thing. So, but if you can have it in your town, which, you know, is going to be really small, this is why the crowds are so small. And this is why I think that it's also a gambling thing, because, like, some of these other teams have, like, uniforms and stuff. And if you're
they're homemade uniforms. Like, David Morse paints the helmets and gets the uniforms. Like, I think they have actual uniforms.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're, like, a Sunday league or a beer league for hockey or something, you're not going to be the same. There has to be something going on behind the scenes here. Like, there's no way that these kids, like, all come out, they play, they have, like, real equipment and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's an additional motivation behind it.
I don't know. I also feel like it's just hand-me-down. Like, it looks like Little League, right? Like, it's like he's just carrying those 2 big duffel bags. Like, this was clearly, like, the same helmets, the same jerseys that have been used every year. This year, they're the red team. Like, at the beginning of the movie, we see David Morse, like, peeling the orange tape off the helmet, repainting it red, new team, new year, whatever.
Yeah.
I think also this is maybe, I don't know, this is something that we just talked about on an episode of Too Fast, Too Forever we just recorded, you know, Nick Burris in terms of where he grew up in rural. I just feel like maybe like the rural aspect of it is a little bit different, and I'm sort of more, like, I think this is more normal as opposed to like kind of outsidery weird from your perspective a little bit. You know what I mean?
I definitely don't know how normal it is and if the undertones are something that like I'm making up in my head or not, because I didn't grow up here to know if it seems normal or not. So
the movie makes no attempts to really hide like weird underbellies, but it also doesn't really truly accentuate that. Like, it feels like the town is pretty normal. It's just like David Morris has a dark past. Like, I feel like if the movie wanted to be super weird and super dark, it would have done that. And I feel the fact that they don't. And I also think the bigger story here is that the movie doesn't care about that. Like, that's not the story it's telling or trying to tell. It's about two guys, and that's it. Like, father-son relationship, kind of, but they're both kind of messed up in different ways.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
At one point in this movie, Ryan Gosling howls like a wolf, which I liked.
Oh my god, yes, yes. When he just starts howling, just
David Morris calls him an alpha wolf, which of course, you know, double alpha wolf.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too, yep.
Gosling wears jersey number 9, which I wonder, I was trying to think if there's something, because now that we're really rocketing toward the end of Boyfriend Material, and we still don't quite have a name for the awards, like the actual award, like the Zeffies or whatever.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like something there, and so I'm just kind of picking up on all that. I still don't have one, but I was just thinking like, you know, number 9, the red jerseys, whatever. So my brain's in overdrive right now trying to figure out what we can call the awards. I don't know.
We'll find something. We always do.
What else happens to this movie that is kind of crazy? Gosling calls David Morris a crying little pussy at the end.
There's a lot of hyper-aggressive ribbing. They use very real high school words that would have been time appropriate at the time, but it was very jarring to me to hear them. Like, there's like lots of people, you know, calling other people pussies. They literally have a dick measuring contest in this movie.
That's one of the first scenes that I wrote down, that Gosling walks in as they're just sort of like, it's some kind of like ritualistic dance before they pull out their dicks and see who's is bigger or whatever.
No, they're trying to get hard.
Jerking off, yeah, okay.
They're trying to get hard so that they can measure boner size.
Gosling walks in and says, "I don't need to circle jerk to long dick you, just ask your girlfriend." I was like,
exactly.
Oh shit. And the guy kind of comes back with like a half-assed, "Ask your mom, whatever, about me." It's like, well, I mean, Gosling just sort of like said the same thing, basically, just instead of girlfriend, he said mom.
It's really weird, but it feels right, right? Like, it feels like a high school football team. Like, it's not like out of place for the movie situation.
Right.
It's just like, I personally haven't been in high school in a very long time. Like, hearing it, I was like, oh, weird. I don't watch a lot of movies where they're like realistically like high school like that anymore, you know? So I'm like, oh, very, very strange. Like, all the movies that come out now that we watch, they're like coming of age tales. They're in high school now.
Well, just,
high school's a little bit more woke.
Kids are different now. Like,
exactly.
It's so wildly different. But I know that Brian runs into this on High School Slumber Party a lot. We're just like, oh, like, this is something. I mean, we even, you know, in the early Fast and Furious movies, it's a little bit different. But in terms of the high school stuff, like, Brian has run into it a bunch. His podcast, just watching older movies or, like, having friends of his tell stories about their high school experience. Because it was a different time. Not that it was right back then, but it was accepted for whatever reason.
Yep.
You know, the same thing at the end here. When Gosling storms off the field, he says, "You're a sorry-ass queer. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of your bullshit." And it's like, well, okay. Like, just publicly calling out, you know, what we assume that David Morris is gay, but we don't know. And him just in front of his entire team, in front of the other team, in front of whoever's there, it's like, it's misplaced male aggression, but it's still shocking to hear.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot. I was trying to think of what else were some of the weird moments. So generally, though, you didn't like this movie, right?
I think this is in the ballpark of Leland. I think it's another movie that I'm not going to watch again.
Leland, I really didn't get. Like, that
I think
was
it's
not
less,
for me.
Less well-made than Leland, but I think it's well acted, about on par. It's just that this is a little bit crazier. Like, there's a lot more, there's more fun things happening. But I think of the two, I think Leland is a slightly better movie.
And it's going to be weird to watch them back to back, watch Remember the Titans and then this, because this is like a dark indie Remember the Titans. It makes sense that it's almost the same thing, but there's so much more zaniness here that I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I found it really appealing. Like, it kept me on my toes. Sometimes, like, I drift. Like, in Leland, like, there's so much of, like, nothing really happening. And Goss playing a weird character and stuff. Whereas, like, in this, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I can get into this. And, like, I kept, like, I was really zoned in on the movie because I didn't know what wild turn it would take. You know, like, we go from, like, him being a rancher to football to dick measuring.
Yeah, I feel like that's true for the first, like, 45 minutes, and then the movie stops. It just settles into what it is. And that's what
it
I was
does,
saying, you know,
yes.
I was doing work a little bit while I was watching the movie, and my boss asked me to do something, and I paused this so I could do the work, and I was glad that I did, because I was really losing steam. Like, I feel like the first half hour, 45 minutes.
For me, it was into an hour until they get to the point where he hugs him, and it gets weird.
So there's two scenes between Gosling and David Morse, and that's the second one, that I was like, these are very long scenes. There's the one scene where he's recruiting, where David Morse is recruiting him to join the team, and they're in the diner. They're not in the bar where Clea DuVall works. So they're in the diner, and Clea DuVall's there with some guy who's, like, not treating her well or whatever, and he leaves, and she's there sort of sad. And Gosling, it's like this, it's probably like an 8 or 10 minute scene, and David Morse is basically pitching, like, you know, you'll be the future, you'll be our star, I can't do the team without you, you're my guy. And it's this incredibly long scene, and it's so well done. And they're both so good.
Yep,
and Gosling's
I really
in
like
a,
the scene
young,
too.
Optimistic, sheepish sort of way that he is. And I was like, this is great. This is really good. And then, and I know this is sort of the tonal twist, but I think by the end of the movie, where they're in that, like, what I was calling the music room, because there's the records hanging on the wall.
That's not even the end. That's halfway. That's the halfway point.
Well, yeah. It's that scene where he's like, try to get by me, try to get by me, and then he grabs Gosling. I'm like, oh, this is another, like, 8 or 10 minute scene, and I can't wait to leave this. Because not only is it uncomfortable, but it's just,
feels
like, this
predatory.
Feels too long. Like, it's just not, it's not well put together. Like, it's just
no.
too much.
I disagree. It didn't feel too long for me. It felt awkward because it was predatory. Because, like, you could see that Gosling knew that he was trying to... He wanted to have a real relationship with him. And that's what Gosling is, like, freaked out about. And they know that this is the dance that they're playing in this moment. The coach still goes through with it.
Well, later in the movie, he grabs Gosling's junk when they're on the football field. Like, it's just like, what is happening?
Well, that was like, that was a more, that
I know
is that more
was more
realistic.
Motivational than sexual, but it's still like, what is, I don't know why this is happening.
Well, he was like, hey, if you want a big dick it, here we go. Grab him by the balls. Like, we're going to fucking do this. And that's a different thing than if, you know, he was like in the room alone with him. And was like, come on, try to wrestle me. And he's like, men wrestle. It was an extension of that, and it was like a response to that. Like, he did it only because of the first scene where Gosling's like, that's on the field. That's not like, they don't just like hang out at home and wrestle. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's extra weird coming after the fact that he had just said, that David Morse had just said, like, he had never kissed a woman. He's like, you know, 50 years old or whatever. He's never been with a woman. He's like, whores don't count. I'm like, what is he saying here? And that's his, like, I think that's his coming out. Like, you know, I'm this sort of sad case of a man. I don't know if he's extra predatory in that he's doing these. And it feels kind of like he might be, that he's coaching these teams to hopefully find
he's grooming
his
them.
Next... Right. And so there was the guy on the boat who died, who the boat sank. He's like, well, what were you doing on the boat? Like, we don't know, but it feels like that's sort of the next step for Gosling. It's like, if things didn't break bad in the way that they would, he would take Gosling out somewhere and then try to really put the moves on him. Like, I think he starts that in the room, trying to get by me and real men wrestle, but man.
Yeah, and it's weird that he picks a kid who specifically his father died. So he's, like, lacking a figure. You know what I mean? It's very,
it's
very
power.
Predatory. It seemed like a wacky, zany movie, but there was, like, a lot of deep complexity to it. And that's what, like, really made me be like, oh, shit, this was, like, very interesting.
I think it's really well acted by the two people. And I think that there's nothing else, like, nothing else of there's any, there's no other consequence in the movie. Like, I think it's just a character study of the two of them. And that's it. Like, I don't think there's any kind of complexity. I don't think there's kind of anything interesting outside of their relationship.
That's a very complex thing to think about, though, right? You have a kid who lost his father. A guy comes in who plays a father figure to him, so he wants this relationship. That guy is closeted and wants a different kind of relationship. And then Gosling also has to contend with this through being in love with a girl, you know, is a little bit older and a little bit different path. You see all these juxtapositions where, like, he has to, like, when he leaves these weird situations with the coach, then he has to, like, go back to the girlfriend and, like, be manly, right? The coach is kind of forcing him to be more manly because he's, like, questioning what's going on inside him. I think it's a very deep, like, weird, complex movie.
I don't think it's anything that I really haven't seen before. I feel like
that's
I've
fair.
Seen this
that's
kind of
story.
Fair.
Yes.
Like, I think it's a kind of a well
It's just like
acted.
Let's Go Swimming, right? It's a different version of that movie. What's that movie called?
Call Me By Your Name with your boy Timothée Chalamet.
It's a way more low budget, way less beautiful, same kind of relationship dynamic.
But it's not, though, because that's about a young boy coming of age and realizing he's gay or knowing he's gay and sort of looking for that companion. Gosling's not looking for, like, a sexual partner
no,
with David Morse.
He's not.
This is, like, an uncomfortable, predatory version, a low-budget
yes.
indie version that's dirtier and greasier and not as interesting as that. Like, I think there's, again, a relationship between a younger man and an older man, but it's not at all. Like, I think it's similar. Like, it would be in a Venn diagram, it's like a little overlap, but not much.
But you said it's nothing you haven't seen before, so, like, where have you seen this dynamic?
I don't know, but it just didn't feel new.
It doesn't feel new, but I've never seen it before. Yeah, I agree.
You know, I was kind of hoping that we'd just have more of a sports movie. I guess we're going to get that with Remember the Titans. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think that what it wound up being, it could have been better. I feel like it just doesn't...
Yeah, but it doesn't... It's a small budget indie
movie. I just can't believe that you're defending this as much as you are.
I really liked it. It like, struck a chord with me somehow.
Really?
I don't know.
This is, like, this is for sure my bottom five so far.
Oh, no. I really... This was a pleasant surprise for me. I liked how zany it was, but I also liked the deepness of it. I liked thinking about, like, all of this weird relationship stuff, the predatory aspect. Gus doesn't put... Like, if he really didn't want this, he would break off the coach relationship with him. Like, he would stop going to
the
games.
But what else would he do? Like, he would just... I feel like in this town, if he does not do this football thing, he would just become a drunk and just sort of, you know, slowly die.
And that's very interesting. Like, his options are, like, deal with a predator or do nothing.
I don't think that's interesting. I think that's sad.
It is. It's sad, but it's interesting. Like, I've never been in a small town where there's nothing to do. So it's like a looking in for me. I'm like, what would I do in this situation, right? It's like, I got kicked off the football team, but then he likes him enough. Now he's, like, kind of indebted to him in the sense that he's like, okay, I won't go back to the football team when they offer me my spot back, which he should have taken, right? That's his, like, real out. So if he, like, doesn't like this relationship, he would have taken that. And he doesn't even pressure him. Like, the coach is there, and he's like, yeah, man, like, you decide. It's very strange to me, but I was like, it made me think harder than I thought that I would have to about this movie.
The movie has overall pretty good reviews. It has a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty solid, yeah.
5.9 average rating. It was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance, which is where it premiered. But the reviews, New York Times said, praised the performances of Gosling and Morris, but opined that the film is, quote, confused and, quote, doesn't have much dramatic momentum. The Los Angeles Times praised the cinematography, but wrote the film has a virtue of sincerity. The story is, quote, over-explained. Joe Layden claimed the script, quote, plays like a first draft. And then someone else said that the brothers who made this have made, quote, an astonishingly good first feature. Like, I just feel like there's kernels of an idea here that are good,
it's
but they're not
thin.
Fleshed out. It's not interesting. Yeah. It's not developed enough to warrant deep thought. Like, I think it's just like, oh, that's a thing. And I think that it's not finely crafted enough to be in a place where I'm interested by it. I'm like, I see what they're going for, and I don't think that they succeeded.
I think that they could have worked it out, like they could have sussed it out better, but I think that the foundational ideas in it, I do think it's spread a little thin. It's kind of surface deep on the movie thing, but I know what I was looking for in it made it better for me.
Yeah,
and if you didn't dig under internally,
I just don't think there's enough to dig under. I think that's my problem.
That's
there's
fine.
There's not enough actual intertwining stuff. I think that it's all about one relationship, and even the Gosling Clea DuVall stuff feels like an afterthought.
Well,
that's
definitely
every relationship that he has that's not with David Morse feels like an afterthought.
It is.
And I think if there was more complexity in literally any other part of the movie, it would work better. But I think that because the whole movie rests on this one relationship between the two characters, for as well acted as it is, it's not enough.
Yeah.
So
I thought that, like, I really dug the, like, how much that specific relationship made me think, though. So I didn't feel, like, slighted on, like, the relationship between him and his friend. Because, you know, like, you have, like, this whole sub-story about him and his friend and his stepfather beats him, right? And it's like, we just talk about that once and nobody really cares about it. You have the story about her leaving, and, like, that doesn't really matter either. Like, we don't get anywhere there.
I just feel like in those regards, you know, his best friend is Native American, and there's this whole thing with one of the teams they play has like this ritualistic, like, sort of like their version of the haka before they play football. And I feel
it's his
like
cousin's team, yeah.
It doesn't feel real. Like, it's just like, oh, this is a thing that happens, but they don't care about it. It's just like, oh, this is part of our world, but it doesn't feel like authentic. It just feels like, oh, that's another thing that's happening. You know, I don't want to just take the words of that one review, but it sort of does feel like a first draft where it's just like, there's a lot of interesting ideas here. It's just nothing here is really engaging me. And I don't think it's bad. Like, I don't think it's poorly made. I don't think it's not interesting.
It's definitely like a first movie. It's definitely like an indie film. It's definitely like an early draft of this. Those things, like, I saw this as I'm going through and I'm like, okay, and I just forgave all of those.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't bad enough for me to be, like, hung up on it. So that's why I was, like, I didn't even think about it beyond that.
Like, I know that these early movies are going to be a real hit or miss, and I think that this is not necessarily a miss, but I don't think definitely don't think it's a hit. I think it's in the middle, and I know that Gosling is going to be less and less in these movies, but I'm just sort of hoping that the movie itself will be better or more engaging or more interesting, and this one didn't work for me.
It's totally fine. Like, I don't think that this is a movie for everyone, and I wouldn't tell people to watch this movie. And also, a lot of the time, like, my perspective on the movie is how surprised I am that I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not that it was necessarily good, but that, like, I'm like, wow, this made me feel some type of way.
Sure.
Like, Leland, I just, like, I wasn't in it.
Yep.
So, like, it meant nothing to me. This was like, I want my time back. Yep. Nothing could be relatable to, like, or make me even consider thinking about anything in that movie. This movie was like, wow. Like, I was thinking about it a little bit. I was questioning it. I was like, man, what would you do in this situation? How would you feel? How would I feel? And that's what got me.
Okay.
We got a great scene that I never knew that I needed. Gosling getting a girl's phone number on his stomach.
Oh, and then it goes away. He loses the girl. I mean, he gets the girl eventually, but he's like, oh, I got it right here. And he's like, oh, man, it's gone.
And then he's, like, sad about it, but it's also a small town, and you know where she works. So, like, just go back. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
he's
then he goes back,
fuck.
And I think she's pissed because he didn't call her. And he's like, you know, you told me the problem. Let's see how to fix it. And, like, I also feel like, you know, it's either, like, that douchebag guy that we don't even know what was going on, but that didn't treat her well, or this handsome young kid. Like, it just, of course, is going to be Gosling. You know, and it's not like he chose not to call her.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, don't write on skin if he expected to stay or stick around.
With lipstick under a shirt. It's not going to work out very well. Great punch in the face. Lots of yelling. The song is amazing. Gosling punches someone else. Gosling is, like, semi-responsible for, like, many deaths in this movie.
In what way?
Everyone around him keeps dying, like his dad.
Well, who else dies?
The coach's best friend. His best friend almost dies on the football field because he's, like, big dick in it, right?
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to kill everyone. And then third, the coach almost dies when he, like, leaves him outside in the fucking freezing cold. And
yeah, I think the first two are not Gosling's fault. Like, I think the dad didn't kill himself because of Gosling.
No.
I think the dad was just whatever. I think he's just around death a lot.
He's tangential to all of these deaths. Yeah.
And I think that Floyd is not necessarily
his
fault either. I can see kind of that he led to, it was the accident where he, you know, his friend got paralyzed or almost paralyzed or at least injured or whatever. And then him storming off and then, you know, just sort of knowing that David Morse is going to be mentally unstable and him storming off, I can see where that sort of is kind of sort of his fault. But I can see he's definitely surrounded by, like, serious shit. But also that feels, like, that's another reason why it feels less real. Because, like, it's like, how much craziness is going to happen in this kid's life over 2 months? You know what I mean? Like,
it makes sense. Shit happens, man. It wasn't too much. It wasn't over the top for me to be like, this guy fell asleep in his car. He lived in his car. This guy has heart problems and he leaves him outside in the cold. The kid gets hurt during football and his dad died. Unrelated things. You have a bad fucking string for a couple weeks.
Man, I will never get over how much you're defending this movie, but go on.
I'm sorry. I did like it. I liked it. The one problem I had with the movie, the acting at the end when he's chasing after him in the car. And, like, his reaction after he punches him, he's like, come on, help an old man up. He goes real soft, and he's like, look, I'm laughing, it's okay, like, I get it. He sells himself really, really hard, and at that point, I'm like, I wish they would just not have shown that. I wish it would have been like, he'd have been like, help, come on, man, help me up. And he'd have been like, nah, and just left. And, like, we wouldn't have gotten the chase scene where he runs after the vehicle, like, come on, ride me home. Like, it was just, like, very pathetic, and I was like, oh, God, I don't like that. It fits into it, but that was, like, a part that I really didn't like.
So you didn't like it because you wanted to root for the coach, or because why?
No, just because it was, like, it was really pathetic, and that's a very vulnerable moment, but I don't think that it was acted as vulnerably as it should be.
Okay.
Just, like, how it played out, like, him chasing after the car type thing. Like, we could have done, like, a cutscene, he's back, he's, like, at Gosling's house sometime, and Gosling slams a door at him, or, like, you know what I mean? He sees him at the diner again. I think just budget-wise, it was easier just to, like, shoot it in that one scene. Like, I would have liked it to be in a different place.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
That was, like, one of my only qualms with, like, the actual filmmaking of the film. I was just like, that part took me out just a little bit at the end, and I was like, and then, like, he goes back for him, he saves him. He should have died there. And then it would have been like, whew, like, that would have been a good ending.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, so, like, that last, like, 5 minutes of the movie, I'm like, you lost me a little bit. After he punches him in the face, if it would have just, like, he, you know, you see him in the in the woods and he's just like, or in the field and he just like is dead, and then Gosling would be like get a letter like, oh, you know, this guy died, or he comes into the diner and he's like, there's a new paper guy. That would have been great, right? Like, yeah. He comes into the diner and this guy's like, hey, selling the paper, and he'd have been like, where's whatever his name is, and he's like, didn't you hear he died? And then like the movie ends. It would have been like, whoa.
Guess I don't know. I was gone by that point.
Yeah, it's okay.
So this movie also, I mean, this is clearly an indie movie. Budget of $500,000, which feels about right.
Yeah.
13,000 in theaters. So, like, I don't know. I think
nobody saw
this. Yeah, exactly. So we can't do the trailer today because the trailer is just the first 2 minutes. What we found on YouTube as a trailer is just the first 2 minutes of the movie, and that's not interesting to hear us talk about. So let's instead ask, hey, guys, what's in your hands? What's in your hands, guys?
A football. Damn it. We said it at the same time, Jinx.
Helmet.
A horse.
Mm-hmm. The horse rein.
Yeah, a rock when he tries to kill the deer.
But doesn't. You know, he's got a lot of people in his hands. He's trying to help up Floyd. He's trying to help up David Morris. He's trying to help up Clea DuVall. Or, you know, he's having sex with Clea DuVall. He answered the condom after he comes too quick.
We have two. Yes. An axe.
Mm-hmm.
And also a needle.
The diabetes needle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beers. He has beers in his hands.
And the ditch drink, which is whiskey, water, and ice, which I never heard of that term before.
I've never heard of that either. I was very confused by it. And what was the other drink? It was called a cowboy, but do you know what it was in it?
I think they just said, like, all I heard was milk. Something with milk in it.
Ugh.
I mean, milk's good in a white Russian, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm assuming if it's called a cowboy, it's like bourbon and milk, and I don't want those two things ever together.
So yeah, I would agree.
I'll have to ask Rachel what a cowboy is, or if she knows what a ditch is.
They go ice fishing at one point, so he's probably got a fishing reel in his hands.
Records. He's holding the records. Little music.
Mm-hmm.
Soap. The scene with the kid washing his helmet, the outside of it in the shower, was so brilliantly weird.
I don't even think I saw that. I must have missed that one.
Oh, you did? Okay, so after they win the game, they're in the shower, and the shower pans.
Is this the scene where David Morris comes out with dinner for them?
Yes.
Okay, so I know what scene you're talking about. Okay.
It pans from Goss in the... his Native American friend.
Also, by the way, I just want to say, that dude has been in, like, a ton of stuff. Like, he's a really good actor. He's been in Longmire. He was in Hell on Wheels. He's been in a ton of stuff, especially recently. That guy's a real solid actor.
Interesting.
So this movie has a couple people. Like, David Morse has been in a bunch of things. Amy Adams, obviously. Clea DuVall. Like, this is a well-cast movie. I just wish that the script was a little bit more developed. Anyway, continue.
And then it pans from that way. It goes to the other shower, right? Like, on the other side. And there's one of the linemen who's in the shower shampooing just the helmet. He has the helmet on, and he's just, like, shampooing the outside of the helmet.
That's
like,
funny.
He's getting a shower, but he's just still wearing... he's, like, naked. It's not like he's, like, in full uniform. It's just the helmet. And he's just, like, shampooing the top of the helmet. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. There was, like, lots of little moments in this movie like that that I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't know if it was the people who made the movie or, like, the actors or, like, the low... you know what I mean? Because, like, if you're, like, dealing with, like, low-budget actors, and you're like, go take a shower, and the dude's, like, in the shower, like, with his helmet on, you'd be like, fucking leave it. Like,
yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. No, I looked at the rest of my notes. I don't know if I have anything else that was in his hands. Do you?
No. Not that I can think of right now.
Unfortunately, we cannot play the Google game. I looked at Ryan Gosling, Slaughter Rule,
definitely
Slaughter Rule,
not.
Ryan Gosling. There's nothing there. So let us play the Letterboxd game. I told you before.
Are we going to do Letterboxd and then Most and Least Boyfriend Material Moments?
It's always after.
Okay, sorry. That's why I just forgot the order.
For reference sake, Mad Max Fury Road has been seen by 388,000 people. The Slaughter Rule, 2002, directed by Andrew J. Smith and Alex Smith, starring Ryan Gosling, David Morse, Clea DuVall, Amy Adams, has been seen by how many people? Average rating, 2.8. I feel like it was a 2.9, I think, and I gave it a 2.5, and I think it dropped. So, like, it's not that few, like, where it's, like, that significant, but, like, I think I saw it go down a tenth of a point, so.
With that hint, and the hint that you gave me that it made $12,000 at the box office, I'm gonna guess this movie was seen by...
I will give you one other, maybe, little hint. I think the latest Gosling movie we've ever seen, the latest Zeff movie we ever saw, I think was about 120. Like, I think the Derby Stallion or Miracle Run, one of those was, like, 120. So even those movies that, like, literally no one has seen, there's a somewhat of a base.
Yeah, I was gonna go 1253.
Way lower.
Let's go 330.
Higher.
Oh, 575.
561. Almost nobody. How many people have it in their top four?
Zero.
Correct. How many people gave it 5 stars? It's a number higher than zero. It's a positive integer.
Yeah, I would say it has to still be low. I'm going to say 3?
4.
Okay.
None of them, like, they're all, like, weird-ass movies. One person has two Nightmare on Elm Street movies in their top four. Like, it is the weirdest batch of movies, some of which I've never even heard of. So we definitely can't play that part of the game.
Oh, sorry.
It is wild. Okay, Fire Ass Titles. If we are renaming this in the High School Musical style, the most simple bass line, it is what it is. What Ooh. Do you think the slaughter rule? I'm going to call it Closeted.
That was a good one. And I was thinking along the same lines, but football-y, the locker room.
Hmm. Father, like either family bonding or father-son.
Father figure.
Just with the George Michael song.
Yeah. Let's see.
Daddy issues.
And on the theme of like Nebraska, we could do Montana.
I will take a title of a Lost episode. Episode Ooh. From Lost. All the best cowboys have daddy issues.
Whoa.
Right? It's
oddly specific.
Right? I think it was an episode about Sawyer and Jack, which, of course, because they're the same person.
How about this? The Rhinestone Cowboy.
Ooh. There's one scene where, like, it's something that I've seen him do a lot. I don't know if we talked about it yet, but when David Morse is introducing everyone on the team, and he's like, this guy hanging over here, or hiding over here, is our quarterback. And he takes Gosling's hood off, and Gosling, like, very sheepishly, like, brushes out his hair with his hands.
Yes.
And just, like, has, like, this, like, mischievous, like, sweet look on his face. So I was like,
Smirk,
oh,
yeah.
He's been crushing everything, like, in terms of likability. That one face, like, will get him every part, get him laid. Like, it's just this one face he does where I'm like, oh, he looks like the most innocent, sweet boy that I've ever seen, and he still looks like Ryan Gosling.
Yep.
What other fire-ass titles? The quarterback?
Six Man.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Something maybe newspaper-related, like headlines, or
Ooh.
Making the cut, or
the back page.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can come up with one or two more. Ditch.
Studebaker.
Diabetes.
Flight attendants.
Let's talk about the most and least boyfriend material moments in this movie.
I got a glaring one.
What's your most boyfriend material moment?
So easy. When he comes up to her when she when she's leaving and she's waiting for the bus. We know she has a bus ticket. They talk. She goes, I know you called me last night, but I was home and I didn't answer. And he's like, huh, like confused, right? Like kind of taken aback. He's confused.
Yeah.
And she goes, some kind of support I am. And he goes, I didn't want the support. I wanted you.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or he says something like, maybe I don't want the support. And I was just like, it's so smooth. He's so dedicated that he like is like, don't leave. He comes to chase her down. That whole scene, top boyfriend material moment.
I'm going to go with just the first thing that popped in my head when I saw him walking a horse, and I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but like there's so many online dating profiles where girls are just like, oh, they're like on their horse, they love their horses.
Oh, you were right. I was right. Okay, wow.
In that moment, yeah, it's like, oh, this is the dream for a lot of young women, Gosling with a horse. Just that image alone.
Damn, yeah.
Now, it's the least boyfriend material, but there's a lot of, as you're saying, destructive, reckless behavior that he does here. What is the least boyfriend material moment in this movie?
I would say this is something that spun on me a little bit when she's just peeing and he's like, can you shut the door?
I do think that's a little weird. I mean, it's a little aggressive on his part, but they don't really know each other. Like, they're just on their second date maybe or whatever, and they have sex, but she's like, oh, you know me well enough to fuck me but not to watch me pee? I'm like, oh, it's a different level of intimacy, I think.
For me, it's not. And, like, I've had this conversation with, like, a lot of people. I think once you've actually had sex with someone, I mean, that's it. Like, anything else that, like, happens.
So she's there taking a dump. You're okay with that, too?
I would say shut the door. That's for your own sake. More than, like, I don't think that there's anything, like, she needed to pee, like, you've already, like...
I do think that there is, it's more on her, and if she's comfortable with it, it should be a kind of up to her. But at the same point, like, I don't think it's wildly out of line for him to be, like, not necessarily to be, hey, shut the door, but, like, are we, like, at this point already? Like, I think he's just questioning, like, what is happening here?
No, it seemed more like he was, like... hey, it was like, shut the door. Come on, dummy. Like, this is what you do. And I was just like, once you've been there, you've seen it. Like, this is something that doesn't bother me. So I was like, stop being a weirdo, man. Like, you can't tell her you want to have sex with her and then be like, and like have her take the condom off and go throw it in the bathroom for you and then be like, shut the door when you pee. Like, you can't backtrack here is what I'm saying.
That's fair. I'm going to go with something we talked about before, which is him putting himself sort of above the team, getting reckless and causing his teammate basically to get injured. Like, he just sort of, you know, he goes ham, a little ham at the end there.
Yeah.
And, you know, leads
to his
friend.
Widowmakers.
Yeah.
That's what he says, yeah.
Joe, you said in this movie, your guess from last week, Gosling's a butcher's apprentice, his father's a butcher, Gosling's 18. One day he'll take over the butcher shop. His father tells him there's one thing he'll tell him before he gives the shop to him. He's too young. On his deathbed, his father tells him the slaughter rule. Always say a prayer before you have to slaughter them to thank them. Don't waste any parts. His father dies. He gets the shop. Later, Gosling has a son. He says, one day you'll be a butcher like your grandfather was, like I am. One day you'll know the slaughter rule. So then the butcher shop is a front. He grinds people up and puts them in the sausages. His father was a murderer, too. You messaged me when you were watching this. You're like, I can't believe how much closer my guess is than yours. And I was like, well, I didn't guess. None of that is close.
It's very close.
In
his father's
world?
On his deathbed.
No, his father's dead before the movie starts.
They're ranchers, which is like the pre-step to butcher.
That's
it's essentially
not
the same
true.
Thing. It's very close.
I'm not even going to entertain the possibility. Even though this game means nothing, I'm not going to even entertain the possibility of partial credit because it's crazy.
Ranchers and butchers. The ranchers grow the cows. The butchers kill the cows. And they even have a scene where he's like, he almost kills the deer. He's on a horse. And he says, oh, no, I didn't have goats on my farm or something like that. No, he says, the coach says to him, you raise the pig and then you kill it. That's
so you're essentially
boy.
Saying that, like, if Gosling was working at a supermarket and he was stocking the shelves with milk and then we
with
see
meat.
Someone buy the milk. No, I'm just saying, separate analogy. See someone buy the milk and then goes home and makes this beautiful meal. You're saying because Gosling is working at the supermarket, he's a chef?
No.
You're saying one thing leads to the other. You're saying the rancher provides the meat to the butcher, who then butchers it.
It's in the same wheelhouse, man. I think grocery store is more retail, and that's where you're getting it wrong.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But I think working...
Congratulations
animals...
on your correct guess. I am so proud of you.
Thank you. No, I'm just saying that, like, for me making wild, stupid guesses, always guessing based on the title, I thought there'd be nothing near slaughtering in this movie. I thought it was definitely going to be... closer to what you said, where it's like the mercy rule.
Well, no, you said mercy rule. All I said was that it's football on the cover. I didn't guess because I knew it was football. And then you said, oh, like the mercy rule. I was like, yeah, so that was your guess as well.
I thought it was going to relate to football. I took it as far away from that as I could, and I still somehow was near the slaughtering of animals in this film.
I think that's once again kind of not like a shortcoming necessarily of the movie, but to say that like the most obvious, like if you have the slaughter rule, the mercy rule, whatever... Like, oh, what's another thing that we could do for the slaughter rule? Oh, slaughtering animals. But it's not even that. Or, like, just like, the yeah, mercy rule is also kind of like, if that was in the title, it's the same thing. Like, oh, he's giving mercy to this animal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels low. It feels low-grade creative. Like, it's sort of like
it's low budget.
It's a weak pun of a title.
Yeah, it's a low-budget title. I agree.
Joe, the next movie we're doing is The Believer, which is the last Gosling movie I've seen. There's only, I think, two more movies
after
The Believer.
Did you find it? And we found it somewhere?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Perfect.
What do you think a movie called The Believer is about?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
You didn't see Remember the Titans? Isn't that
Oh,
next
no, I have
way?
Seen that too. Sorry, I forgot that. No,
Isn't
I've seen
Remember
that.
Remember the Night?
Yes. I've seen the next two. So after Remember the Titans, there's The Unbelievables, which I thought we could find, we cannot find. I'm okay. bummed about that because that was written and directed by the guy who created Bill and Ted. Then we have
yes.
Young Hercules. Then we have Breaker High. Those are both TV series.
Yep.
Then we have Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, which we found on IMDb's streaming service.
Yes.
And then there's a bunch of early stuff that we can do, sort of clip show-ish stuff. The Believer. What is The Believer about?
You know what? It's an easy guess. And what was the movie before Midsommar, the other movie that the guy made?
Hereditary.
Okay. The movie is just Hereditary, and Hereditary was a remake of that movie.
Okay. So what's the most least boyfriend material moment?
The least boyfriend material moment is running a sex cult because he has sex with multiple women.
Okay.
The most boyfriend material moment is going to be... most boyfriend material moment is going to be that he buys them ice cream once.
Okay.
He, like, takes him to Dairy Queen. It's going to be, like, a nice Dairy Queen moment.
He is Pyman. Pyman, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that there was zero chance that you were going to remember this, but I had told you all along there was a movie where Ryan Gosling played a neo-Nazi. That is The Believer, a movie in which Ryan Gosling plays a neo-Nazi. So will he take those women to Dairy Queen? We will find out next week.
I think that I'm still going to be right.
I guess it could be a remake of or a pre-make of Hereditary. We will find out. But Joe, let us nominate this for some awards. I'm going to say okay. Best film, worst film, no. Most disappointing, I will say no. Best Gosling role, I will say no. Worst Gosling role, no. Most or least boyfriend material caliber role, again, sort of down the middle.
Neither.
Most fun, no. Best song, though,
yes.
Renegade Pride.
Renegade Pride.
Best soundtrack score, no.
No. Although I did like it, it was kind of like honky-tonky a little bit, so.
Oh, I did like him drunkenly singing cowboy songs, cowboy western songs to the moon. That was nice.
Same.
Best cinematography, even though that was praised before, I think we've had a lot of other movies that he's been in that has looked a lot prettier than this.
Agreed.
Best costumes? Do you want to nominate this for costumes or no? Because I feel like the jersey's cool, but I think the Titans, we'll see Titans.
Yeah, exactly.
Best or worst hair? Again, kind of down the middle.
Agreed.
Best or worst love story? There isn't really one to write home about. Best scream?
Yes.
Which one?
Firmly yes. Either the howl or the wood chopping one.
I'll just say howling.
I like the howling.
Best Gosling cry. Does he cry in this movie? I feel like he should, but I don't know if he does.
I don't think he does. Not that I remember.
Best punch in the face. We're going to say Need in the news.
Yeah, definitely.
He does not play an instrument, sadly. He does not kill anybody. He doesn't really have a job. He's just a football kid. Best dancing scene. I'll say country western dancing with Duval.
Yes, very much so. I agree.
Like, I was trying to figure out how to describe that. It's not line dancing. It's not square dancing. It's just sort of like honky-tonk country western dancing.
I think they consider that. I don't know. I saw it in Texas when I was just there last time in Dallas. Like, I saw people doing the same thing.
Gotcha.
Just, like, in a group, but it wasn't really line dancing, and it wasn't really square dancing either. You're right. I don't know what the actual name is of it.
Best death? No. Best non-Gaz role, male or female? I'm going to say best as David Morse.
Fair. I'll take it.
So, Joe, we have five nominees. Best song, best scream, best punch in the face, best dancing scene, and best non-Gaz role, male. So I hope that scratched your itch of nominations for The Slaughter Rule.
It did.
A movie I will never think about again.
Yeah, I'll think about it for a little bit more. I'll probably forget about it eventually, but I'll think about it. I won't watch it again anytime soon, but I'll definitely think about it.
Well, if you want to talk about watching things again soon, every other Tuesday on the Cage Club Podcast Network, wherever you find this podcast, we watch the Fast and Furious movies on repeat, Too Fast, Too Forever.
On repeat.
We are currently in lap... We're just about, so this can come out 9:26. We're just about to start. We're right around the cusp of lap five. So we're going to start our fifth time through all the movies.
Okay.
So every other Tuesday over there, we talk about the Fast and Furious movies. We also have a Ryan Gosling, we also have a Channing Tatum podcast and a Zac Efron podcast here and there, sprinkle that throughout. Next week, The Believer here on Boyfriend Material. But for all things, all of those podcasts, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us. boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me. We haven't said it in a while. We're recording these all really close together, so if you do email in, we'll probably read it on the award show. I think that sort of makes sense. Give people a long runway, world's longest runway, to email us. We can talk about it all on the award show at the end, the final episode, after you vote, you all dear listeners, whoever's out there, vote on the best and worst Ryan Gosling moments that we've been nominating all show long. But come back next week for The Believer. And we've got, I think, 8 more episodes after this. We've got a handful of movies, a couple TV series, and a couple fun things at the end. Go do that thing. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
We'll see you next week for The Believer, right here on Boyfriend Material.